Well, good afternoon, and I just have to say that Bruce Dye is a national treasure for what he does, going around with the MEPs and doing all that he does for oral health and continuing to measure these year after year. Thank you, Bruce, for what you do. So I'm very pleased to be part of this panel and to be talking about the HHS Oral Health Initiative and how it relates to healthy people. We all struggle with trying to make the compelling case for oral health, and some of us do better than others, but I think everybody has experienced that. We've seen instances when oral health is rolled up in with other health areas and it becomes lost. And we've seen many instances where decision makers are not aware of the importance of oral health, that the focus is on the leading causes of death. And so we're always seeking this way to make this compelling case. And in large part, that silent epidemic that was spoken about in the Surgeon General's report in 2000 continues today. The oral health epidemic is still a silent epidemic. And so we need to be always on the lookout for ways to make that case as to why oral health should be at the table, why it should be a priority for funding, and why policy changes are needed, and so forth. So we look for ways to tell our story, and one of the ways that we can tell our story is through personal stories, like the tragic death of Diamante Driver. And one of the ways we can tell our story is through events like people lining up for hours for the Missions of Mercy just to receive basic dental services. And one of the ways we can tell our story is through the use of data. And through these measures and through statistics, we can get people's attention. We can help to tell that compelling story about oral health. So I'm always on the lookout for ways to tell this story, and to me one of the most compelling in recent times was this release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2010, and it talked about consumer out-of-pocket health care expenditures in 2008. Remember 2008, that was when we had the presidential election. Remember right before that there was the Wall Street bailout, that people were suffering, there were many people out of work. The recession was in fully going in 2008. And you can see, though, that still dental services in the lower right-hand corner is a pretty big piece of this pie that people put out of their own pocket for health care expenditures. In fact, if you look at the actual statistics, there were just about $139 billion out of pocket, and over $30 billion of that was for dental services. If you compare dental services to physician services out of pocket, it's almost 50% higher. The same is true for dental services compared to all hospital out-of-pocket expenditures. It's almost 50% higher. In fact, it's second only to pharmaceuticals. And so this is one of the things that I always go and tell people, that, you know, you have to be aware that oral health is affecting people's physical and psychological and social and economic health. It's something that has to be considered in many ways. There are other national indicators that we can look to help tell our story as well, besides healthy people. For example, the fact that children are two times as likely to have unmet dental needs as medical needs. The fact that over 52 million people live in a dental health professional shortage area. That's HRSA's data. The IOM report says it's over 33 million, but either way, it's over a tenth of the population lives in a dental manpower shortage area. So there are some other compelling data as well, but the healthy people data are the most compelling. So I'm just going to tell you now about the HHS Oral Health Initiative. This initiative was launched at the 2010 National Oral Health Conference with high visibility, high leadership. Dr. Koh was there. Dr. Garth Graham from the Office of Minority Health was there. Michelle Rollins helped, Dr. Rollins helped launch this. Dr. Cindy Mann from CMS was part of the launch. Dr. Chris Halliday, Chief Dental Officer, and of course Mary Wakefield, the administrator for HRSA. They all came to launch this HHS Oral Health Initiative because they thought it was so important. The Oral Health Coordinating Committee conceived of and helps to monitor the HHS Oral Health Initiative. This shows the representation on our committee, and I'm so proud of this committee. It's been in existence since the early 90s, and you can see on the left-hand side the federal agencies, very powerful health federal agencies that belong to this, and on the right, offices, powerful offices within the federal government that we meet at least monthly to talk about oral health issues. We inform each other, we support each other, and we try to position oral health at its highest possible point. To my knowledge, other health disciplines don't have this same sort of committee. So it's unique in the federal government, and the people on that committee, all four of us are members of that oral health coordinating committee, but it really is having some results in helping to advance oral health. So the main message of the HHS Oral Health Initiative is that oral health is integral to overall health, and its focus areas are health promotion, disease prevention, access to care, oral health workforce, and reducing health disparities. So really, the HHS Oral Health Initiative is 9 separate initiatives. So that was one of the criticisms from the start, is that it wasn't an overarching HHS initiative that was all totally integrated and worked together. In fact, it's 9 separate things that aren't exactly, it doesn't come to a complete whole, but they're all important in their own right. And so I want to just go through some of these and give you an update on where we are, because you saw the launch, but you may not know where we are with the update. And I think as I go through these, you'll see how they relate to some of the Healthy People objectives. The first one is by ACF, the Head Start Dental Home Initiative. This has been launched in 35 states. It's going to include another 12 states by the spring of next year. This was recently transferred to a new dental national health center, and this national health center will include other health disciplines besides oral health. But that contract has been awarded to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Many of you know that the AAP has only real 4 priority health areas that they've listed as their priority, and oral health is one of them. So the pediatricians are seeing the importance of oral health. Physician assistants have also recently come on board. The 4 physician assistant organizations have agreed that oral health should be one of their priority areas. So they're seeing this as a true health issue. And that's pretty exciting. And then AAP will be working with Georgetown Katrina Holtz Group and the ASTDD on this initiative. So just know that the Head Start Dental Home Initiative is continuing. It's being transferred to this National Health Center, but there's still a good emphasis on oral health. The National Oral Health Surveillance Plan, there's never been one. We haven't never had a National Oral Health Surveillance Plan. So CDC and National Center for Health Statistics, which is really a part of CDC, but we always want to point out their important role, and then the National Institutes of Cranial and Dental and Cranial Facial Research, that's listed wrong there, I think. I have met, and they convened a meeting in March of last year. They brought in many stakeholders, many experts, and they looked at what the surveillance should be, what it currently is, maybe what some of the gaps are. Those proceedings are being written up now for a journal article so that you can see what some of the recommendations were. An MOU has been created to further this work, and we expect we'll have a national oral health plan in several years. It's going to take some time, but that's an exciting new thing that's part of this HHS oral health initiative. Centers, the CMS released their oral health strategy in April, and what they did first was they looked at states that were successful in seeing more Medicaid and CHIP eligible children and what they did that was making them successful. And then they created this plan, and the plan only has 2 objectives. They both focus on preventive services. One is to increase the delivery of any preventive service to children between ages 1 and 20 over a 5-year period by 10 percentage points. That's pretty ambitious. The other is to increase the number of sealants for children age 6 to 9 on a permanent molar by 10 percentage points over a 5-year period. So again, that will help with our Healthy People objectives. The CMS Oral Health Strategy also is starting to work with states now to develop. Each state has to develop a pediatric oral health action plan, and they're doing a lot of outreach and strengthening this peer-to-peer learning and so forth. Many of you, probably everybody, has heard of the IOM reports on oral health that came out this year. There were two of them. What you might not know is that they were part of the HHS Oral Health Initiative. They were funded by HRSA. The first one really looked at HHS's role, but it goes beyond HHS's role as far as what can be done to improve oral health. And the second one looks at access to care for vulnerable and underserved populations. The first one has seven recommendations. The second has 10 recommendations. I'm not going to go through all of those. These are the recommendations from the first one. But you can see that one of the guiding principles at the bottom of this slide is that they focused on healthy people objectives when they were looking at this. This report actually calls for a new HHS oral health initiative beyond the one we have going now. And with all agencies developing a plan, an oral health plan specific to their agency and how they're going to integrate oral health into everything they're doing, remains to be seen how that will be carried out and whether, you know, the secretary and others will push that. But we're working towards that. And what we'd really like to see is that agencies could develop these plans with and look to some sort of a strategic framework, maybe a strategic framework that would be developed with private and public collaboration on what should be included. And so then as they develop their plans from each agency, they would at least tie into some kind of strategic framework that would help to align them and bring them all together. That's what we are most hopeful for. The Early Childhood Caries Initiative that's being done by Indian Health Service. You can take a look at these objectives. If you thought CMS's objectives were ambitious, look at what Indian Health Service wants to do in the next 5 years, to increase things by 50%, 25%, and so forth. Very, very ambitious. This is they've actually changed the name of this from the Early Childhood Caries Initiative to the Early Childhood Caries Collaborative, because it includes WIC clinics, Head Start clinics, medical providers, nurses, community health representatives. It's very broad, and it's not just being done in the dental clinics. So one of the things they did in 2011 was take a baseline survey. They surveyed over 8,000 children with a basic screening survey. The great news about that is we've never had BSS data from Indian Health Service before. They've never done that, and that's the survey that the states use. The other thing that's nice about that is that it's on children that are 5 years older or younger, and we haven't had that data before. So this is just this was data that they announced at the ADA annual conference in early October. Is in the 6 months prior, their baseline data is in the blue, and the lighter color there is the progress they've made in just in the first 6 months. And we'll see how this goes, but you can see that access to care for 0 to 2 year olds has already increased by almost 10%, and for 3 to 5 year olds has increased by almost 25% in just this year in the first 6 months. Sealants, again, you've seen an increase in 0 to 2 year olds, a decrease in 3 to 5 year olds, but you know, they're going to be working on that. Fluoride varnish applications by medical providers, you know, 40% for both groups. That's really terrific. And it shows the level of education and commitment that the Indian Health Service is really putting into this Early Childhood Caries Initiative, and it goes far beyond the oral health program, and all the medical programs and so forth are on board with this. And then the delivery of interim therapeutic restorations. And so that's another part of this, is that they can't get all the children in to treat their caries, but they can stop them with glass ionomers and interim therapeutic restorations. NIH has developed a clinical and translational science award program. They've done a dental toolkit that can be used for research across the country. They have a standardized way. They've developed a standardized way for researchers to collect data on dental caries and periodontal disease so that those data can be comparable and also that they can be aggregated if need be. And the other hope is that since this is electronic and results can be shared much more quickly, that the translation into practice can be sped up a bit. This is what it looks like. That seems like a fairly simple concept, to have some sort of an electronic way to capture data, but it's never been done before, and so now researchers will be able to use this toolkit to capture data and in a more uniform way, and to share that data with one another. Office of Minority Health is developing a cultural competency e-learning program for oral health professionals, and I'll let Rochelle address that in her portion. And the Office of Women's Health has an initiative called Oral Health as Part of Women's Health Across the Lifespan. What they have done is taken included oral health data in all their messaging and in their online data sets. They've been very successful at that, and in fact, in May of this year, they did the first ever spotlight on oral health through the Office of Women's Health. And the really amazing thing and incredible thing about that was it was right during the week that is National Women's Health Week. So the focus was on oral health during National Women's Health Week. What they're doing now is a survey of primary care physicians to look at their knowledge of oral health and their referral practices and to see what can be done to better integrate oral health and medical care. They have a website that's called Women's Health, but this is girlshealth.gov. And, you know, women are the primary caregivers, and they really seek out information. And this Office of Women's Health, these websites are one of the premier places that women go to get their health data. So that's a really nice accomplishment. I said at the start that we have... The criticism of the HHS Oral Health Initiative was that it wasn't integrated and that it didn't go far enough. But I think our task is always to pursue excellence. And when you look at how people define excellence, I looked at these three. Tom Peters is an organizational guru, and Pat Riley is a very successful basketball coach, and Colin Powell, of course, is a highly decorated military leader, and their definitions are so similar. And what they are saying is that excellence isn't a destination that you just arrive at. You get there one step at a time, day by day. It's an attitude. You continue to strive. You continue to do your best day in and day out, and that's how you achieve excellence, is by doing that a little bit at a time. I think the HHS Oral Health Initiative gets us there. I know that healthy people helps get us there. That helps us to tell that compelling story. And as we move ahead into the future, I think that what we're going to have to do is to have more public and private collaboration, looking for common ground and things that we can move together that we can agree upon and move together on with regard to oral health. We're going to have to integrate oral health and medical care in a much better way, improve oral health literacy, expand our preventive interventions, and always, always be looking for that way to make the compelling case for oral health. So I think the HHS Oral Health Initiative is moving us towards excellence and also contributing to healthy people. But, you know, it isn't just one thing. It takes a lot of things, all working together. It takes all of us doing all of our portions, whatever those are, and having that strategic awareness that, you know, we're all part of this larger piece of the puzzle. And that's how we're going to get where we need to go. Thank you.